I don't remember the year, the date, and all that, but I remember getting the call. I'll never forget that. And as I tell this story, probably every one of you have lived this story as well. I get the call that I have a cousin who's about 8 years younger than me, and he was in a car accident. And they said if the family wanted to see him, they better get to the hospital. And I'll never forget walking into that room. And here's my cousin. We'd grown up playing together. We lived down the street from each other. You know, so we're friends, and we had fights, and, you know, all that, family. And he was about 19, 20 years old when he had an accident. And the car flipped. He was in a convertible, and I wasn't sure what to expect when I got to the hospital. But walked into the room, and the characteristic I remember the most is when I walked in, as he's laying there, I couldn't help but to notice his feet, because he was laying on his back, and you know, his feet weren't straight up. His feet were just flat on the bed. And I'll just never forget that. I'll never forget seeing him laying there. And every time I hear the story of Lazarus, and I hear that verse that Jesus wept as he looked at Lazarus' sisters and the hurt that they were experiencing, I remember being in that hospital room and wanting so bad for somebody to get up. I'll never forget that. And probably every one of you could get up and share a story like that. Being in that hospital room and praying for a miracle, that God would come through, that God would deliver on the miracle. And I just remember praying so hard, but to be really honest, I think my prayers were half-hearted because I just didn't believe he was going to make it. Now I want to tell you, and I really want this to be an encouragement. I want to take a little different swing at the story of Lazarus. Most of you know the story. Jesus gets word, just like you got word, just like I got word. Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. Jesus, you've got to get there. Have you ever felt like that? Jesus, where are you? Jesus, we need you here. Jesus, you got to get here quick. And that's the word. This is Jesus, Lazarus, and let me tell you something about Lazarus and Jesus, and about Mary and Martha and Jesus. Man, this was a tight-knit group, and they loved each other. I mean, there was a genuine love that was there. There was a strong relationship. And they said, Lazarus is dying, you've got to get there. And the Bible tells us, and the Bible's very intentional to tell us, that Jesus doesn't go right away. And for many, it's a mystery. And even as we're reading the scriptures in John chapter 11, we're wondering, Jesus, what are you doing? I mean, you've got to get there. I remember right before my grandmother passed away. I've shared with you before, I've seen my dad cry about 3 times his entire life, and that's it. And one of those times was a time that his mother was dying of cancer. And I remember dad coming home, and I was passing him in the hall, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, son, if you want to see your grandmother again before she dies, you better get to the hospital. And I went because I wanted to see her. Jesus didn't go. Jesus didn't go right away. Jesus didn't make tracks and he didn't head there. And it was intentional. And you know the story. It appears that Jesus has waited too long. Have you ever felt like that Jesus had waited too long in your life? It was too late. Hey, Jesus, nice try. Good effort. But it's too late here. It's too late. The Bible's very intentional. People have questioned scholars through the ages, have all kinds of answers of why Jesus waited. But I think the answer is very simple. But hang with me here. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Now, what do you think that she's thinking? I mean, do you think that she's thinking that Jesus could bring him back from the dead? I don't think that's what she's thinking. Because we're going to hear just in a few moments that when Jesus talks about doing that, they're like, hey, now wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not sure about all this. I'm not exactly sure what she was thinking. And that's not even the issue. You know, the issue tonight for us is, even as we read this story, if we're honest, all of us have felt that there was a time that we needed Jesus, and it seems like he waited. He wasn't there. He let us down. And if we were honest, some of us here tonight, we are still kind of hanging on to that. I mean, we haven't abandoned the faith, but we're still trying to live out every day. We're still trying to be hopeful. We're still trying to believe that the next time we need a miracle, even though, you know, Jesus failed the last time, maybe he'll come through this time. Many of us have experienced that or are experiencing that. And she said, Jesus, if only you had been here. If only you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, I think here on a Wednesday night, as I read that, we already know the story. Some of you are trying to pretend you don't know the story so that you can be like, oh, wow. But until we know the story, we know what happens. Probably almost, maybe not everybody, but almost everybody in here knows what's about to happen. But I want you to know, when Jesus says your brother will rise again, you know, Mary and Martha have flipped on their church ears. You ever flip on your church ears and you hear something that wasn't meant, but you're kind of assuming what it might be? You know how you do that? How you throw on your church ears? Anybody ever do that? I mean, we throw in our church ears and our church arms and our church eyes and our church noses, our church mouths to speak our church language. I mean, I love it, man. I mean, church people are the only people who can gossip, and it's righteous. Because here's, you know, the world gossips just by saying, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, they're just this or just that. But in church, we say, we need to pray for so-and-so. And let me tell you why. Because I know where she was last night, and we need to pray for her. I mean, it's just a prayer request. Like, we have to speak it, you know. We need to pray for so-and-so because, you know what's going on. But let me tell you, in case you don't, you know, that's how we do. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And listen to this. And Martha answers, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I mean, she throws on her church ears. She hears what Jesus says. She's lost all hope. And she says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she's just speaking church stuff. I mean, there's going to be a resurrection at the end, right? The Bible says the dead in Christ will. Oh, that was horrible. The Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise. You should be more excited about that. That's going to be us one day. That's going to be us. To rise. And here, let me just tell you, if you've heard the Lazarus story a million times, verse 25 is the whole meaning of the Lazarus story. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Now, did everybody hear that? He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, at church, when you're preaching and you ask questions, we're just all prone to say yes or amen or whatever we say. Because I can say, how many of you believe that you're going to live forever with Jesus? And everybody will say, there we go. Right there, Rachel. That's right. Now, we ought to get excited about that. Now, I know some of you are you're at church, so you're dignified. Now, I saw a few of you say, whew. Don't want to get too excited. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, think about what Jesus said. Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, you're missing it. You're missing what I'm trying to tell you. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Raise your hand if you're going to die. Almost every one of you. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. How many of you will never die? Wow, now some of you are just confused. You're like, I don't know, I just said I'm going to die. So can I go back? Can I do the other? And Jesus says, do you believe this? What a question. Jesus has just made such an incredibly profound statement, because I want you to know the miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead had nothing to do with Lazarus. Did you hear that? Now listen, if you and I are going to have a proper understanding of miracles, then you've got to understand this. The miracle has nothing to do with you. Because everything God does is for God's glory. And so a miracle, while though you may be involved in that miracle, while you may be a part of that miracle, while you may be Lazarus, this wasn't for Lazarus. Because think about the deal. Now, theologically, now Pastor Jeff's in here, so I feel a lot more pressure. But theologically, and Pastor Jeff, you and I can talk about this tomorrow. The picture I have in my mind, now I'm out of the Bible now. Everybody with me? This is just like me just thinking out loud. All right? Like when I say, hey, I'm skinny. You know, I'm just thinking out loud. All right? I want to prove to you why I do not believe this miracle had anything to do with Lazarus. I think it is a safe assumption to say that Lazarus was a believer. If you agree with that, raise your hand. I want to make sure we're all almost on the same page. Good, good. So my belief is that when Lazarus died, as a believer, I believe that he would spend eternity in heaven with God forever and ever and ever and ever. So the picture in my mind, while it may not be accurate, is that Lazarus is dead. So what's that mean? Come on, somebody tell me. Now you just look, now we're all being churchy. He lives. Though he's dead, he now lives. I want specifics. I want location. He's in heaven. Can you imagine the eternal disappointment with Lazarus? He's in heaven doing whatever he's doing, saying, "Whoa! Wow, this is awesome. I love it. Whoa!" Do you hear me? That's like me pulling up to Ryan's and it's closed. And there's Lazarus. So the best thing, everybody listen now, the best thing that could have happened to Lazarus is that he'd be in the presence of God. That's the best thing. That's the best thing could have happened. I mean, because when you and I get to heaven, no matter who we've left behind or what we've left behind, there's nothing you could offer us to make us want to go back. Now, some of you struggle with that. And let me just be really honest. It's hard for me to say that. Because there's some stuff I like. Y'all like anything? I want to know who's going to win the Biggest Loser. I've been watching it now for like 9 weeks. I just want to know. Yeah, I got those little kids. I want to see if they grow up and they're like their mother. Lord, help them. I saw her walk in. That's the only reason I said that, honey. I was just kidding around. Or if they're going to be like their dad. And we'll need a lot of prayer. I mean, there's some things I'd like to see. There's some things I'd like, but here's what I, while I don't know it experientially, here's what I know theologically. Once I am there, I won't come back for nothing. Because when you're in the presence of God, that is it. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know where Lazarus is at. Maybe, you know, this whole time God knew what was going on, so he just left Lazarus. I don't know. Theologically, I don't know. But this miracle, it wasn't about who Lazarus was and whether he was dead or alive. This miracle was about who Jesus is. That's what this was about. And this was intentional. Jesus purposefully didn't leave so that he could get there before Lazarus died. He waited purposefully so that when he got there, Lazarus would be dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is saying, if there's anything that's going to matter in your life, it is me. I'm the only thing that's going to matter. And I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I'm believing that. Because all the things I'm chasing, I'm not catching them. And as I get older, they're just getting further away. And I'm pursuing a lot of things. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And all that's going to matter at the end of your life, all that's going to matter is Jesus. Is Jesus in our lives? And what Jesus has done for us, how Jesus has forgiven us, what Jesus has called us to do, that Jesus has called us to be like Him. Jesus is saying, listen, I know you're sad. And I know Lazarus is dead, but I want you to know I'm the resurrection and the life. It reminds me, the Bible tells us a few chapters earlier that there were all these disciples following Jesus. And then a bunch of them just left Him. And there's just a handful there. And Jesus turns to them. And Jesus says, Will you two now leave me? And Peter, his response to Jesus is this. Now listen to this. Peter says, Jesus, where else would we go? You alone have the words of life. Peter is saying, Jesus, where else would we go? You're all that matters. I mean, you're all that there is, Jesus. I mean, what else would we pursue? I mean, what else could we have in our lives? You alone have the words of life. You alone. And that was a very true statement that Peter made. And it's true for me and it's true for you. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me just explain this. Every one of us, you know, except that Jesus, if Jesus doesn't return in our lifetimes, every one of us, we're going to die. A physical death, every one of us. All right? A physical death, every one of us. For many of us, that will be the miracle. And he says, you will live even though you die. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus said he was the life. He's the life. And so he lives within us. And so spiritually, we'll never die. Now, our bodies are going to die. So he's speaking physically and he's speaking spiritually. Physically, you're going to die even though you'll live. And then he says, and you'll never die. And that's spiritually. Because the Bible says, what can separate you from the love of God? If you are a believer, what can separate you from the love of God? Let's hear an answer. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Spiritually, you will never die. And then he says this, and this is profound. And I think it just gets missed. He says to her, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And what Jesus is saying is the only way you're going to get over your brother's death is if you believe this. The only way you're going to get through this tough time is if you believe this. The only way you're going to make it with your spouse walking out with somebody else is if you believe this. The only way you're going to be able to sleep at night when that child is who knows where is if you believe this. And Jesus doesn't just say to her, do you believe this? He says it to you and me. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because I'm the resurrection and I am the life. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. So here's a great question. So why did Jesus weep? Does Jesus not know what's about to happen? Is this going to be one of those spontaneous raising from the dead? Is Jesus just going to get so moved at the tomb? Is he just not going to be able to control himself and say, Lazarus, come forth! What did I just say? Jesus knows all along what's going to happen. Jesus knew before he left. Jesus knew before he got news. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Lazarus would be raised. But he wept. I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. I've heard a lot of people say why they think Jesus wept. I've heard some say, well, Jesus wept because all them, they just didn't think Jesus could do it. They just didn't believe. And Jesus wept because they didn't believe. Jesus' ego doesn't hang on whether or not you think he can do it. Everybody, that should have got a gigantic amen. Jesus is very sure of himself. And just because you think he can't do it, it doesn't throw Jesus into a depression. Just because you doubt whether he could really move, Jesus isn't saying, oh my gosh. After all I've done. That's not why he's weeping. I think it's really simple. He's weeping because he loves them. And they are hurting. And even though Jesus knows it's going to be okay, anybody ever take your kid to the doctor and they got to get a shot or stitches or something like that? Is that not horrible? As you're holding your, you pinned your child down to the bed and they're looking at you like, what? Who? You're betraying me. And that kid's got tears in her eyes and that doctor's putting those stitches in or giving them that shot. I mean, it is horrible. And you know what we've all done sometimes in those moments? We've cried. I remember Mildred and I were holding down Will. And he's got this big old gash in his head. And social services hadn't got there yet, so we didn't have to answer all the questions. But I remember we're just holding him down. And that little kid is crying. And he's got tears coming down of his eyes. And I'm just looking at him. I'm trying to be strong because I'm the man. And I look over and Mildred's crying. It's going to be okay, Will. No cause for alarm. So why do I cry? Do I think he's going to die because he's getting stitches? Why do I cry? Because he's in pain. And I love him. And it hurts me that he's hurt. Jesus wept because he loved them. And he loves you. And I don't think that was the first or last time that Jesus wept. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus is saying, you can trust me. Jesus is saying, you can hang on to me. So there I am in a hospital room with my cousin. And I'm going to tell you, I'd love to end this sermon by saying, and all of a sudden his feet came up and he stood up and he said, I think I'm okay, but it didn't happen that way. And he died. Against all that I had prayed for. But I want you to know, that was not a moment that I was removed from Jesus. That was a moment that I was in the arms of Jesus. And he comforted me. You know why? Because Jesus knows it's going to be okay. Because even though he's died, he will live. I don't know where you're at. But I think it's a sobering thing to hear the voice of Jesus say to us, do you believe this? I mean, do you believe this? Do you believe it's going to be okay? Do you believe you're going to get through this? This is the Lazarus story. It's not about the miracle. I don't know that I'm even going to go to the end of the story tonight. This is the story that Jesus is there and that Jesus cares. And if there is a miracle, it will be for the glory of God. It will be God just showing that he is God. He can do whatever he wants. But I got to remind you, there's a reason we call it a miracle. We don't call it a miracle that we get up every morning. Why? Because we get up every morning. You see, because miracles are few and far between. And we call them miracles because typically they don't happen like that. You see, I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've been to the cemetery, but people aren't popping up out of the ground. You see, this was a miracle. And I don't believe, and I've heard some preach it, that Jesus was so moved by Mary and Martha that he chose to raise Lazarus from the dead. Folks, let me tell you, if you believe that, that's a lie. Martha and Mary did not move the hand of God. But so that God would be glorified, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth. Come forth." Let me just read this and we'll close. So they go to the tomb. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And what did he say for their benefit? "Take away the stone. Take away the stone." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Now, one of my favorite kind of points in all this is that Jesus just shouted, "Come forth." I don't know what would, I've heard some people say if he had just said that, everybody would have come out. I don't know. I think his power is probably a little more specific than that. But he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And I don't think he spoke Lazarus's name so that nobody else would get up. I think he said Lazarus' name because there was a relationship that was there. There was history. Jesus loved them. "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now let me just say this. It's the only time I could find it. This wasn't what normally happened. This isn't what Jesus normally did. And guess what I can tell you about Lazarus? Have you seen him lately? The Bible doesn't tell us, but what do we know? He died. He died. His resurrection was not because, well, the earth is such a great place, I'd love for him to have some more time here. But it was for the glory of God. To let them know, I am who I say that I am. You can trust me. And I am going to be here. Because I promise you this. While I think it's safe to say that the second time Lazarus died, Jesus still comforted them. Even though I think it's safe to say it was after his own resurrection, Jesus still comforted them. And maybe that's when it hit Mary and Martha. Maybe that's when it really hit them. Wow, that's what this is about. This miracle. This Jesus saying, "I'm the resurrection and the life," is to give us hope that we can trust him, that we can follow him. We're going to have a time of altar tonight. And you know, I shared with you last week that my struggle's been, you know, I'm not sure what I've been holding on to. And so I think this sermon is a great follow to that. Because I want you to hear this. Jesus cares. And Jesus is there. And while you may not emotionally feel it, he's all that you need. And Jesus says to you and to me, "I am the resurrection and the life. You can trust me." Jesus is saying, "So I'm here. Hold on to me. I'll be there. I'll get you through it, whatever it is. You can trust me." Tonight for our altar, some of you are just struggling. You're in the middle of that. Maybe tonight you've just heard Jesus say simply to you, "Do you really believe this? Do you really believe this?" Because I think just because you get up and you go to church, I don't think that means you really believe this. I think if you got all the praise songs memorized, I don't think that means you really believe this. Jesus is saying, "Do you really believe this?" Because if you really believe this, it's going to make a difference in how you live your life and in what others see and how you're living your life. And guess what happens? When you're holding on to him, they don't see you and they don't see me. They see Jesus. I want you to bow your heads tonight. Some of you, just after hearing this tonight, you've been struggling for a while. And your struggle tonight is you're not sure if you've ever held on to Jesus. And I want to invite you tonight, because His arms are stretched out. And I want to invite you tonight to take hold of Jesus. And I got good news for you. You can't take hold of Him unless He takes hold of you. And if you feel like that needs to happen tonight, that's only God can do that. So I'm curious. I wonder if you're just here tonight. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you'd say, you know I'm not holding on to Jesus. I know that I'm not. Would you just lift your hand real quick and put it right back down? Okay? All right? Okay? Anybody else? Several hands went up tonight. I want to invite you to come to the altar. Some of you, you're just in the middle of it. You're in the middle of a lot of stuff, and you're trying your best to hang on, but you feel like you're losing grip. Come to this altar tonight. Come to this altar. Father, we love You, and we thank You for who You are. And I thank You, no matter what we face, You can get us through it. I thank You, no matter whether we get the miracle we prayed for or not, You're there. You're there. You're comforting us. Your arms are around us, and we thank You for that, Lord. And I want to pray for folks tonight who are just struggling to really hold on to You. Oh, Father. May we trust our marriage to You. May we trust our children to You. May we trust our job to You. May we trust our finances to You. Lord, may we trust that difficult relationship to You. Lord, help us to hold on to You. And thank You that we can. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Hey, this altar is open. We're going to stand together, and I want to invite you to come.